want to know how to find it. Seek it out when they hide it. You know it's in the bag when it's an easy grab. But come on, take a chance now. So go, geocache, and if you need help, we're right there in a flash. If you got a question, just call in and ask. Uncover the stash on the Geocaching Podcast. The Geocaching Podcast.
Welcome to the Geocaching Podcast, episode 387, recorded live on January 28th, 2015. I'm your host, Ted Hard Hat, with
Scott Burks,
Steven Zad Infinitum, and
Paz 427.
You can join our chat room and watch our live video stream, plus participate with us as we record this episode. All this and more can be found at www.geocachingpodcast.com/live. Be sure to contact us via our voicemail line at 630-31-VOICE. And also find us on Twitter at geocachingpodcast.com/Twitter. Yes, it exists, Scott. And Facebook at geocachingpodcast.com/Facebook. Also there, plus icons. It's all over geocachingpodcast.com. Go there, find out, check them, click on them, and go!
It only took a year.
This episode is sponsored by cache-advance.com for all your geocaching needs. cache-advance.com. Go find it. Yes, if you go to the right-hand side of geocachingpodcast.com, there are now icons that you can click all over the place to get all our different all our social media stuff. Go to it, run, fly, and if not, go to our social media stuff up in the area about show hosts, except for Chad, which I really need to add now. And you can get all different ones. Just connect with them as well. And we'll talk to Chad and get that going. Anyways, how's it going, guys?
Hello.
I digress.
Hello.
I don't know why.
I don't know why. I think that
it's going fine. You know, it's same, you know, January in Chicago. It is what it is.
Yes, it is. How's the weather up your way? Probably not as bad as Boston.
No, not as bad as Boston. Cold, but not terrible. Nothing too terrible. Nothing, you know, it's 30 degrees and a little bit of snow on the ground. I'll take that for Chicago in January. Chad, shut up. I see you giggling over there. What do you got?
70 degrees and sunny, let me guess.
Yeah, 70 degrees. I think it hit 78 today.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, jeez. And I was out there walking today, freezing my fingers off because it was only 28 degrees out when I went. So it's cold here in North Kakalaki as well. Mr. Corey, I heard that you were able to bust out of your igloo.
That's right. It's starting to melt, but it was still too slushy. Well, to get out and do anything about it, but I can see the roads.
Oh,
so that's good.
That's a plus.
That is a plus. So yeah. Everything
usually helps when driving.
Yeah. So there's roads and there's roofs of houses and tops of trees. So
there you go.
All right. Seen
a bit of green.
Spring.
Yeah.
spring comes in March or April or May.
Major.
Of what year? let's see. Geocaching wise, I had some good times this past week. Went out with wife Amy doing some walks on some greenways. Yes, they're actually greenways. And actually go out and just have a good time geocaching. Amy got her first to find, so she was really happy about that.
I love that.
Yeah, so now she's finally can get off my back. And so that we... when am I going to get a first
divide? What is it, your fault?
When am I going to get a first divide? Whenever, you know.
Right.
So we had a good time. It was a lot of fun. Went out even geocaching today and had some extra time. So it's good to get the bug again and actually get out and find stuff. Not too much for your way, though, Mr. Scott.
No. I had the kids last weekend, and it was just crappy weather. I mean, me and my youngest, Shane, were going to go out Sunday. But it was just snowing and rain and crap, and we just didn't go. I picked up one. But the bigger news is this coming weekend, Daryl's coming to Chicago.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, so I get to cache with Daryl this weekend. So looking forward to that.
I think he likes that train ride.
Right, he's a train guy. Doesn't he look like a train guy? He totally looks like a train guy, doesn't
We can drive it in 4 hours, but hey, that's we right. can take eight and try.
I like it. Great. I like Amtrak. I like it. I like to look out the window.
Make the engineer go toot toot. Yeah, that's good stuff. Wow.
Yeah, so Daryl's coming Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, but I think I'm only going to see him Saturday. He's doing his round in Chicago. Yeah, actually, I'm putting on an event Saturday night for him. Yeah, so people are gonna come from far and wide to come meet Daryl. So that's going to be fun. Yeah, it's going to be a good time. I'm looking forward to it. I haven't seen him in a while, so it'll be nice to do a little cash with Daryl W4 this weekend. Yeah,
that's excellent. Mr. Corey, how about yourself?
What are we talking about again?
Geocaching. Geocaching. Trains.
Because I don't do any of that, you know.
Here we go.
I live in the frozen tundra. No, actually,
you said
hopefully.
Slush.
Hopefully this week I'm going to go down into the dusty desert to go pick up my family because I've been a bachelor for 5 weeks.
Five weeks? Good Lord.
Yeah, all by myself.
Wow.
Well, yes, you were mentioning earlier about your fantastic eating opportunities that you have now being a bachelor for this long.
Yes. First I ran out of the frozen corn dogs. Then I ran out of the frozen burritos. Then I ran out of all the cereal in the house. And now I'm down to grilled cheese. So.
That's about right.
After I run out of that, I think I've got some top ramen. So.
Just years off your life you're taking on this weird.
Exactly.
Wow. Well, hopefully the wife comes back so that she can instruct on where to actually purchase food from a grocery store and go that
point,
way.
Point you to the
that?
Gym.
Believe it or not, normal society may actually go and have places of which to purchase said foodables.
That's right. There's something called the grocery store. It's pretty neat.
Yeah. They got food. You take food. You pay for food. It's great.
I come home and there's usually stuff there. So,
the kitchen elves are always good, except for when you leave.
What is this cooking you speak of?
I've had to fend for myself the first few days. I got really hungry. Then I found.
I'm sorry. The can opener broke. I starved.
Two days he tried to kill a squirrel. Couldn't get it. He's like, screw it.
Oh, there brings some images. Oh, Mr. Taz, how you doing, sir?
All right.
What's up?
So, finally managed to get out this week, actually today, and find one. I'm a little too busy over the weekend, but managed to find this cute little guy right here. Catch was called the Princess and the Frog, and the hint was you might need to kiss a number of these. So it was a cute little frog, hidden pretty well. And of course the backside has the cache in it, but
it's in his tushy.
You know, I figured I would share that because
what a convenient hiding spot.
I enjoy nice containers.
That is nice. So, I'm glad you pointed out that's the frog, because she's gonna have a hard time.
Was it like was it metal? What was it? I mean, was it?
Yeah, it was like a cast iron frog with that's hauled out in the back in a container in the backside. not quite literally in the back. Not in the backside there.
Wow, you learned so much in this show. I won't even ask if it had a cork. I'm just saying. Good stuff. Wow. But that was a good picture. I like that. That was really good. Thank you, sir. Yeah. All right, let's move on to the podcast roundup, letting our viewers know what's going on in the geocaching podcasting community. And what's coming up this week on Geo Gearheads is episode 161 with Daryl and the Bad Cop, where they're going to be talking about MOGA 2015. The Bad Cop talks with a couple of the MOGA committee members about this year's mega event. You know, I don't think I've actually been to that one yet.
To MOGA. I've never been. My girlfriend Shortenitz has been to MOGA. I've never been to MOGA.
Daryl talks about it continuously. He seems to really like that one as well.
So. Yeah, I think she wants to go this year. I think it's close this year to me.
Is it?
It's not that far. Yeah, Jess, where's MOGA?
MOGA's in Missouri.
Oh, it's in Missouri. Yeah, it's, okay. It's not that far from me. Yeah,
not bad at all.
It's not bad. No,
on the Jim Snippets Reboot podcast, we are taking on for episode 99. That's right. The Big 100 comes up next week.
What are you going to do for a Big 100?
Yep, the Big 100 episode. And for this week, though, you're going to be taking on, you thought the first Head Hard Hat quiz was a difficult one. We're doing Head Hard Hat's geocaching quiz number 2, and we'll see how you guys stack up. We had a lot of fun. A lot of people sent in scores and got into some good conversations from that. So stop on by tomorrow for the GeoSnippets Reboot podcast and see how you do with the Head Hard Hat's geocaching quiz number 2. All right, good stuff. Let's move on to the news.
The news. The news. The news. The news.
Yeah, what unfortunately, we have some more bad news, some sad news. We got word that Darren Osborne, you might know him as Spin Doc Bob from Australia, has finally succumbed to cancer and passed away. He was the podcaster for the GeoTalk podcast in Australia, and you can see he has about 104 episodes out. If you go to geotalkpodcast.com, you can go and still enjoy hearing Darren, and our heartfelt best wishes and prayers go out to the Osborne family. Mr. Corey, why don't you take on the next bit of news, please?
Oh, the next bit of news. Okay, so if you haven't already heard or got the email, premium members get a sneak peek. The new advanced search,
it's advanced.
What?
It's advanced.
Oh, it's advanced. Yeah, okay. Sorry, I was going to click that link and kind of see about it, but no, we're, yeah, you get a new advanced link if you're a new advanced search. If you are a premium member, you get a goodie search through the geocaching site, and there's some good stuff in there. It's a little bit more. It's better than the search that we're used to. As far as I was concerned, this the search that you used to have. I didn't ever use it. I mean, it was so. I got caches that were on the other side of the world before I got the caches that were close to my state where I wanted to. And so with this one, I can narrow it down to ones that are nearby me and ones that I can really get to really quick. And so I do like it. It's definitely pin things down.
Yeah, it's kind of a beta phase right now. It's not the complete version. And when you go looking for it, if people go to geocaching.com and click on advanced search, it's like, I don't see it. That's because this is kind of a dummy form that they put up for you to test it with and to see your opinion on how it works. So you're going on to geocaching.com, you're hitting the data, but it's not the true geocaching.com website. You're kind of an offshoot off of that. And I got to play with it a little bit, and it was basically the interface for it now is kind of a little more up to date. It is much more like a web-based form that you're using. There's sliders. The buttons are a little easier to work with. It's much more crisp. It's clear to work with. Gives you a lot more flexibility when it comes to things. The favorite points, I think, are going to be huge with it. They are going to be adding more to it. It's a start in the right direction, I think. Did anybody else get a chance, Chaz or Scott, do you get a chance to look at that at all?
Yeah, I got the chance to take a look at it. I think it's going to be convenient for those people who are traveling into new areas and don't necessarily have a lot of pocket queries and want to try to find out, hey, what is the favorites in this area? Or, hey, are there any things that hit my DTs? There's some other websites that provide this type of information as well. And, you know, I'm a big GSAC user, but you don't always necessarily, you know, if you're going to a city and in the last instant, you're not necessarily going to have, 20 pocket queries to have all the cache data for that city. So you can pull in some quick information there about some of the best caches in the city real quick.
Yeah, and we're going to do another show with more details of everything that works on it. But today was the first day that you actually got a chance to go through and actually see it, and thought we'd bring it up. I think they're on the right track. I hope they have a lot more functionality. One of the first things that I noticed, you can, when you get the results instantly pop up once you give the criteria for it, which I like. You can map it out, which I also liked with that. The thing that you couldn't do, which I wish you could, and again, I understand it's a beta, is you couldn't make a pocket query out of it right now. I'm hoping they add that to it.
Yeah, that was interesting. Also, what they didn't have that would seemed pretty simple. I know my girlfriend Jessie was testing it out. I have not even had a chance to. I was busy at work, and then I was busy after work. But she was playing around with it, and she said that one thing that she likes to do a lot is, because I have, you know, 12,000 caches and she has 5,000 caches, when she goes caching without me, she likes to find caches that I've already done. So, you know, so she can get caches that I have, or, you know, not caches that I don't have, caches I have. So it doesn't, it has a feature, I'm trying to read her notes. That it is a feature that you can search for caches that I haven't, me personally, I haven't found, but not caches that I have found.
Yeah, that'd be a good switch.
You cannot search for caches I have found. And I'm pretty sure Project GC, you can do that, correct?
Right.
Yeah, you can do that in Project GC.
That I have, that you haven't, that somebody has.
So that's one thing that she was a little upset that I couldn't.
Well, hopefully,
do that.
Like they said, they still more things to add. And what we're going to do is in a future episode coming up is we're going to pick out some of our favorite search techniques of the different applications and the different things that are available to us and kind of compare them so that we can see how things go. And we'll see how it stacks up to that.
Well,
yeah, absolutely.
One little note in there for puzzle cachers. It does have the ability to identify which caches that you have updated the coordinates on. So if you want a list of all the puzzles that you solved and updated the coordinates on, that's a little bit handy. That's a pretty nice little feature, I think.
Absolutely. I mean, I think it's definitely going in the right direction, you know? I mean, aside from doing something with results, whether it's a PQ, you know, or a GPX or something like that, it's got to be able to finish up. It's not done.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's like
it's a nice little initial set of features, but it's by no means inclusive. Doesn't come anywhere near to the full capabilities of a GSAC per se. But it's starting to shape up, especially for someone who doesn't have the time to get into GSAC or something that's really complicated.
Right.
And do that. I agree. It definitely has some hurdles to overcome.
Awesome.
Yeah. And surprisingly, Jesse's writing me notes. You're saying it, you can't search for Jasmer, too.
You can't search for what?
You can't search that. For Jasmer. Oh. For dates in your Jasmer, like, you know, like, obviously we all hunt different ways, and a lot of us hunt, like, want to hunt the Jasmer dates and all that, and, you know, and you can't do the Jasmers.
Well, I say make a list, and we're going to send it right to Eric and say, hey.
I agree, because it seems like this stuff wouldn't be very difficult to add on to it.
I think they're happy just getting an interface up with.
Well, yeah, it took 5 years, 6 years to get their face up.
We'll leave that part for some other night.
I mean, that search was just ridiculous. Ridiculous.
All right. Moving on. Mr. Corey, you did put a nice note in here about the Michelin travel bug photo voting. Why don't you give the information on that for me, sir?
Yeah, so the Michelin travel bug voting ends on February 1st. And, you know, there's 10 finalists that are there. You go on to the go on to Facebook / Michelin USA, and under their hashtag Michelin Quest, there's 10 photos and 10 photos there, and you can vote up it, by liking your favorite one. And I just kind of want to put a shout out there, and I'll pop these on here because we've got a couple of our listeners who actually made the finalists.
Yes,
this
we
one
do.
Here,
absolutely.
This one here is Goblin Camper 2004. They haven't made it in the showroom very much, but they called me last night and they said, hey, we're finalists. I said, hey, that's cool. These guys are down from my neck of the woods from St. George, and they constantly tell me how great the
picture.
Weather is, and I always got to tell them, I'm still trying to dig out
can
of my
you,
ice shack.
Can you pop up Team Pugaches?
And, there? Yep. And yeah, this is Team Pugach, Danny Pugach, and yeah. This is his. Yep. So there's two finalists that that are devoted listeners of our show. So
I do have to say one more because he would hit me on the side of the head if I don't. I know that the GC Doc also very much is in there.
Okay, yeah, let's go. Okay, there we go.
Because he's been shouting out a lot for that as well. And I got a feeling one of the prizes on there is going to New York so that you can meet up with a food artist person. And I'll bet you that's his wife. Because he's probably thinking, I want the racetrack one. And she's like, oh, no, we're going to New York. So I think that's what's happening.
I mean, that's a beautiful picture. Good
job. Yeah, so definitely go on there. Send your friends there. You know, share it out as much as you can. Just because, I mean, there really is some great prizes. Michelin has done a great job promoting this. And they've really done a great job. I mean, I never got my hands on one, personally. But I'm just really excited that they did a great job. So,
yeah.
Yeah. You know, my hat's off to them. I remember, you know, when it first came out, didn't they run out or something
like
that?
Yeah, it was, they did not. I actually talked very closely. As a matter of fact, I just talked with the representative yesterday about it. I literally talked to the lady just before this all went live. They had 2,000. And they expected, because the contest was supposed to go to the end of the year, they expected this to go through and just hopefully they might be able to get rid of all of them eventually.
They were out by 7:35
in the morning. Yes. It was gone. I had eight here.
I called in and I was 7:37. I was too late.
Wow. Yeah, they did not expect this at all. And
luckily, they weren't supposed to even be launched that early.
Yeah,
they were supposed to be launched the day after. And luckily, one of my fellow geocachers here in Houston got in there early and said, "Hey, it's live." And then I jump in and I get
it. That was
it. And then it was gone.
Yeah, I talked to them yesterday. They are extremely excited about the contest with the results. And matter of fact, one of the things, if I may toot my own horn, they actually used from the GeoSnippets Reboot podcast when we first introduced the entire contest and some of the pictures that I had sent in. They're actually using some of the snippets from that video to show their execs. So I'm kind of excited about that.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah, kind of cool stuff with all of this.
Yeah, it's a definite win on their part.
Right. Absolutely.
Right. Definite. Yeah.
I think next time, though, this is going to bring up and I know we got stuff that we got to talk about with the show, but I think there's a lot of things that they need to discuss and geocaching.com needs to discuss when they do this stuff, these kind of contests, because there were some things that they can definitely have learned from with this. And I think one of the biggest gripes was is that it was only USA.
Yeah.
That was huge.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, that's
so
right.
There's a lot of good with it, and I think a lot of things that they need for the next company that comes in and says, hey, can we do this, that they need to use with, and I'm hoping that geocaching.com gets with some key people and say, hey, okay, what did we learn from this, and go from there.
Yeah. Also, one more real quick. I do want to put a shout-out because 2E Tango is in the room today, or was in the room earlier, and first time on the live show anyways, listener of ours, is also a finalist on there.
Yeah.
So let me see if I can pop up that one real quick.
Yeah, while you're doing that, so make sure you go to www.facebook.com/MichelinUSA and check all these out.
I did. I voted yesterday.
Awesome. Yeah, here is... yeah, so here's 2E Tangos, and this is another one in Utah, by the way. So, my own stomping grounds. So, yeah, so it's pretty cool.
That's awesome stuff.
You know, we got three people who listen to the show, and
did they say how many people actually? How many pictures they had?
I think a lot.
That number?
I'm not quite sure.
Oh, I'm sure, but like,
I'll have to find out. Because I've been, like I said, keeping up with them, and I'll see what kind of information I can get on how the results to all this was.
Yeah, it's just,
I know they're putting together. Sure, I know they're putting together a promo. Michelin's putting together kind of a promo about the whole deal, and they're getting in contact with other geocachers and using some of their photos. Even though they didn't win, they're still using the photos as a kind of a spiff. So I mean, they're using more photos. So it's kind of cool that they're getting some more recognition out of it, even though they didn't win. So
yeah, that's cool. And so it's really
they
cool.
had about. I'd say roughly 30 photos on their screen at a time, and as a new one would come in, it would kind of ship out. And I put a couple on there back in October, and I want to say it shipped it out in about 2 days, so maybe 15 a day for, 3 months?
And that's just what they put up.
Right.
So it's saying that Michelin said over 1,000 photos were submitted.
Wow. That's awesome. Wow.
Sift through that pile.
Yeah, no doubt.
1,000 no photos. Doubt.
All right. Well, let's move on a little bit. We got we didn't have a geocaching question of the day this week, so this was good stuff to talk about. Anyways, thank you, Corey. That was wonderful. That's good stuff. Tonight's episode, episode 387, Geocaching Application Review 2015. Basically, what it was is I looked at the Play Store. I looked at the App Store. And sorry for the Windows people out there that I'm totally ignoring you here. But out of them...
That phone's still around.
Somebody still uses it. I heard Dr. D of OBeep does. And which was funny because the interview that they had with Eric in the last episode actually talked about them. And they were pleased as heck at geocaching.com that somebody actually talked about Windows. Because they have an advocate inside the company that is a Windows freak, and that's what's, I think, keeping it going. Anyways, one of the things that occurred to me with this is, and it's the same thing with GPS units, but since we're talking about mobile apps here, we are really whittling down to just a rare few of possibilities and choices when it comes to, regardless of the iOS. There are only a few of them out anymore, even for 2015. I just put in geocaching in the search results for those apps, either in the Play Store or in the App Store. There were only a couple of apps that even showed up. Worth talking. Top two, obviously, geocaching, the geocaching app and the geocaching intro app. That came on the top of both. After that, it's a rare but subtle smorgasbord.
Right, it's a crapshoot.
It is. It really is. And I was kind of curious with everybody what they use on a regular basis now, because does anybody here just use one app?
No.
No.
99% of the time, I use one app for caching.
Okay.
And that's CGO. Sorry, I can't stand geocaching.com's app. I got the full app, paid the $9.99. every time they do something new, I flip it on and say, hey, okay, is this going to give me something that I really like? Oh, nope, back to CGO.
What's the main turnoff?
The main turnoff, I cache mostly offline with CGO to save power, okay? Mm-hmm. And it is very difficult to fully cache offline with the geocaching app, and I cannot stand pulling up a window and it's just showing me the closest 10 caches, and then I have to do a refresh. Tell me the next closest 10. I want to see every single one that's there, period. No matter how big I've got the map.
Okay.
That's just the way I operate. And so I also have, basically every cache that is in the Houston area within the 65-mile radius. I've got it all pulled in and pulled into GSAC and then exported out to my GPS units and my phones and stuff. So, I've got about 14,000 caches in my phone just for Houston.
Thank God for SD cards.
Exactly.
Now, the curious thing, Chad, that I'm curious, because my top two used to be geocaching app, CGO. Because if one didn't do something I wanted, the other one did. But CGO went through several years ago quite a turnover. It's what, a Russian programmer for that?
Yeah,
they decided not to want to do it anymore. things kind of fell on the wayside, and then somebody else took it on, correct?
Right. It's like Carnimal or something like that. What was the developer's name? And basically, every time Groundspeak made a change to their interface, mm-hmm. it totally broke his, it. Yep. his thing, yep. and he just got totally frustrated with it. Mm-hmm. And then it's an Android app. It's open source, so. The guy gave it up I don't want to call it a conglomerate, but basically several different developers started working as a team together to put out CGO, and they do it on their free time. They're not making any money off of this. They don't sell the app. So it's kind of like they want to make the best thing that's out there, period, and not necessarily to make money on it, and they do a heck of a job, if you ask me.
Okay,
they're constantly upgrading the features and adding new features and support to it. There's a couple things that I would change, but it has the most capabilities that I've seen out there. GC Droid's probably a close second. I've done a lot with GC Droid, but I'm more comfortable with CGO, so I go back to it.
Okay, Corey, CashSense.
Yes, CashSense. A couple reasons why I like CashSense. The first thing is, it does have the Munsee integration. So,
what's a Munsee?
Go away.
It's a sticker on a pole.
No, I like being able to take it in. You know, when you're snow bogged down up here, and sometimes it's great to be able to go stop and do something. So, it's been nice for me. So I don't know what
let's face it. When you've got 5 foot, 6 foot, 8 foot snow drifts that go up a pole, and the sticker is like a foot above that, that's right. The only option you've got.
That's right. When you can't lift the skirt, the sticker's still there.
Yeah. So, and the other thing I really like about, the other thing that I'm really impressed about CashSense is the light. Well, there's a couple things. The light view. When you tap it on a cache and you just tap on the information when you're looking at the cache map and you just tap on, you can see how long it's been since it's been found last. You can see what size of container it is. You can see whether it has trackables in it. Just on that little listing right there, you don't even have to go into the cache information, the full cache information. So it's nice, and I can go, do I want to go for this or not? I can see DT rating without going into the full cache information. So I can judge right from there without really looking to say, hey, do I have time for this, or is this something that I'm looking for today or not? And then the other thing is I like trackables. And to know whether or not – this used to be a pain in the butt – to know whether or not I want to take this trackable, because if I'm not going in the direction that this trackable is, whether or not I should leave it alone.
Okay, but so based on the goal.
Based on the goal, and I like the way CashSense has it out to where you can go into the cache page information, scroll over to the trackables, and look at it right away, and the goal's placed out right there. You don't have to scroll through 12 different clicks just to find out whether it's a goal. And also, there's a little airplane button down on the bottom, and you can see where this thing has been, which I really like. That's sweet. It goes out to a map view, and you can see, it gives you an arrow where it's all been. And I really like that. I like seeing where they've been and where they need to go. So,
okay, now is GDAC your offline go-to?
GDAC is my offline database. I use that because that's where I store all my databases that I shift over from GSAC. And I've usually got everything filtered out depending on what I want to do. If I want to do my difficulty terrain, or if I want to do my dates placed, or if I want to do a certain area, or if I'm looking for, quick and easy parking grabs, I'll kind of just use that as an offline base to kind of see where I want to get my bearings, because I have it on my tablet. So I'll have my tablet set up in the car, and I'll leave that in there, because I'll take my phone with me or my, or my
TBS.
GPS, yeah, because
yeah, that other thing.
Yeah, because there are places out here where you go about a quarter mile out of town and you've got no phone service at all. So, so it's great to have offline, and you can still, you know, I can still have at least a decent mapping system in GDAC. GDAC does that. I mean, it's not a whole lot, but it has the filters and it has the databases that I export from GSAC. So
that's great. I like that. Excellent. Now, Scott, it used to be an equal 50-50 share between iOS and Android, and the pendulum has swung one way. You are our savior of the iOS now.
Am I really? I'm the only person in the iOS here. Really? Yeah. I use the geocaching app probably, you know, 90% of the time. When I'm not using my GPS. But I also use Geosphere as well. Daryl brought me onto it, saying, you know, this is really cool, you should try it. And it is. It's great. I've used it a bunch of times. Usually I use Geosphere when I'm pulling in a pocket query. You know, it's like if we go out caching, I usually don't pull a pocket query. I'm just, you know, looking at my phone and, you know, going to the next cache. Unless I'm in the woods, then I have my GPS. But if I'm actually, you know, urban, if I'm actually urban caching with the GPX, which does happen on occasion, that's when I'll pull in the Geosphere. And it's great. I love it. But in terms of the geocaching app, I think it's great too. I mean, it's gone through four or five different iterations it began, you know. Major ones anyway. Yeah. And it's just gotten better. I mean, there was one shot when, remember when the map got really bad, when Google Maps went away and that
Yeah, terrible. That was bad.
But other than that, it's gotten better every time. You know, it's really improving. So kudos to them to have it improve every single time. But I'm very happy with it. I have no complaints about it. I mean, I love CGO. You know, Jessie swears by it, and she uses it constantly. And just that live map feature is awesome. You know, I'm sitting here. I have to keep pushing the button on my iPhone, and her map just is constantly updating with caches, you know, on the CGO. And she also has the – it's also really good. She's just started using it for offline mapping, which is really good, too, for that. So, CGO, if you're an Android user, CGO, you cannot go wrong. Especially, it's free, for Christ's sake. But you can't go wrong with CGO if you're an Android user. You'd be silly. Everything else is just a waste of time.
Yeah.
You have to use CGO.
Yeah.
Now does iOS have any geocaching tools like GDAC or GCC? I'm not sure if you're familiar with GCC.
Yeah, yeah. I'm looking at my phone right now. Yeah, we do have hold on. I got to pull up my folder, my geocaching folder. I've got IGCT. Which is basically it's for puzzles, you know. It's it'll you know all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it's got all that. Yeah, it's got the Where Go app. You know, we've got all that, and you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One thing that I don't leave the house without is GCC, which is a tools app that does everything from being able to decipher codes to projections to. Pretty much anything that's going to be in a puzzle or at least a field puzzle out there, you got the tools able to do it.
And I think that's I literally think that's the same app. I think what's it called? It's called IGCT. Yeah,
IGCT. IGCT is
a fantastic app. Anybody at the sound of my voice, go download IGCT.
Yes,
if you do not have it, because
if you're a puzzle cacher, this is a must have.
I guarantee you will use it. Guarantee you.
Yes. And there's a new cache or new tool that I found, or at least I'm new to it. It's called Geocaching Placer. In the past, I've been using CGO, and you can have it put up a big red dot around with 528 feet around the caches, so that you can kind of identify if you're in a no-go zone or not. Well, this GC Placer app does that, and then on top of that, it has a built-in averager, so you just hit start and it'll average 25 samples and will send the data to you. Personally, I've been using a tool called GPS averaging, which pretty much does the same thing, except for now I don't have to switch tools. I can just use that one tool with my pocket query in there and have all the data in there for all the caches around me and be able to tell whether I have a good spot or not.
Yeah. The big switcheroo that I went from CGO to GC Droid. When I go out geocaching, I have, don't laugh, Scott, a mount on my windshield for my iPad 2. And it's great because I use Geosphere for that because it has a great live map where you can see multitudes of geocaches any way you want to see it to go geocaching.
Yeah, it's awesome. That live map is freaking brilliant. Yeah,
For GC Droid, that also has that ability now.
Oh, does it really?
And that now put it to my top of my list of I want to be able to see where the geocaches are in reference to where I am, all of them out there in a live map, and go that way. So that put it me, for me personally, that put me above CGO for right now with that, with the combination using geocaching.
I think only Daryl would know the answer to this, but like, why doesn't an iOS app have a live map? I wonder if Apple won't let them do it.
I don't know.
Or something along those lines. Like,
I wish Apple. Did.
Really? We're going to start with the cause of Apple. There's got to be a legitimate reason why. There's got to, and Daryl would totally know. He'd be like, oh, it's because of this. You know,
the statistics
like,
say that this isn't going to work this way because of the resolution in polar reflux doesn't work correctly.
Because, I mean, it's a brilliant idea, and CGO rocks because of it. Yes. You know, it's such
Don't
a great
worry, that's
going to
be in iOS 23. Right.
By the way, Daryl,
right,
we love you.
It's still a better phone.
Yes, Daryl. I've just got to say, Dudley Grunt changed my world tonight.
Really?
Please,
wow.
Please refer into why.
Okay. I think CGO has just become a new favorite caching app.
Okay.
Why is that?
Here we go.
Here, let me show you.
It is on, I don't know. There you go. It is on my watch.
Are you kidding
you have
me?
CGO, ooh, you have CGO on your watch?
CGO for my watch.
Wow. Jesse, he has CGO for his watch. That a thumbs up? Is that what you gave me?
Is that an arrow telling which direction of which to go?
Yeah. It's a little bright right now, but yeah, that tells
That's
me
pretty
which
cool.
way to go.
That's pretty cool. Is distance okay. wise or no?
And now I need to go out and get me an Android watch.
Let's see. Show compass. Stop navigating.
He's looking at his smartwatch, by the way, folks in the podcast that you're listening.
Yeah. That's about all that it has right now, but it shows me the cache code or the GC code. It shows me how far I am away. It shows me the navigation error, the arrow, and it tells me which cache I'm heading for.
That's
and all
cool.
I did was go to just navigate to my watch.
Wow. You
well, know? I'd like to say to the $300 that I'm just about to blow, thank you
Goodbye.
For being in my wallet.
Look at Andy. Andy's like, here, take my money. Here.
Wow. Well, there you go, folks. Dick Tracy watch, and you now can use your compass through your smartphone to find geocaches. Wow. I love this world.
Right? What a wonderful world we're living in right now, huh?
Do you know how many people now? You remember instead of the T-shirt with the GPS unit with focus? Now you're going to have the people going like this with their hands up to their face, falling off a cliff.
Yep.
Oh, boy.
Yep.
Wow. Good stuff. Great discussion tonight, guys. Good stuff. All right. Any final words? If not, we're going to move on here.
Nope. Let me go follow my watch tonight. See
He's
going
to be in one room to the next.
In the snow.
That Ozzy Osbourne commercial with Turn Right. I'm just saying. Anyways, folks, we hope you enjoyed the show. We sure had a lot of fun tonight, too, and now we've got another list of goody gizmos we got to go get. Please support our show. If you go over to the right-hand side of the geocachingpodcast.com website, click on the PayPal area, if you would, and send a couple dollars our way. We greatly appreciate it. Some people just started doing that as well. We thank you for that as well. All that money helps keep the lights going and keep the show going, and we, again, greatly appreciate it. Finally, tell other geocachers about the Geocaching Podcast as well so they can come in and learn all this great information, too. All right, time to move on. Thank you for subscribing to the Geocaching Podcast. Thank you to Lisa from cache-advance.com. Please be sure to join us each and every Wednesday at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time for another episode of the Geocaching Podcast right here on the Geocaching Podcast website at www.geocachingpodcast.com/live. The video version of our show is available on YouTube, and the audio version is available on our home website, iTunes, Stitcher, and many of your favorite podcatchers. We love hearing from our viewers and listeners, so please visit us through our social media sites. Contact us via our voicemail line at 63031-VOICE. Geocaching Podcast is a Head Heart Hat production and is produced by Andy Smith, Scott Bergs, and Corey Stevens. This show is copyright 2015 by Andrew T. Smith. All rights reserved.